I want to give you a statement that was dropped in my heart this morning as we were praying. And the statement is simply this: God's kingdom will not be built by persuasion, it'll be built by power. God's kingdom is not going to be built by persuasion or talking somebody into accepting Christ, but it's going to be built by power. I have three simple points. And we're going to talk to you about three things, and I wrote them down just so I don't forget. Number one, you need to invite the Holy Spirit to possess your life, to fill you and to empower you. And those of you that come on Wednesday night, we're going to go over this in more detail on Wednesday night. I'm not talking now about just speaking in tongues. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that you need to absolutely, radically be possessed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Number two, you need to invite the Holy Spirit to control your life. In other words, you're surrendering to His leadership and allow Him to lead you into His purpose for your life. And number three, you need to invite the Holy Spirit to use you to and influence, use you to influence and change people's lives. For several weeks, we've been talking about discipleship, a follower and learner of God, one who walks with God, one who follows Jesus Christ. A step that most churches are leaving out of the ministry is to absolutely, radically have your life influenced, motivated, and changed by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, it's important for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come, or the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one that's called alongside to help. But if I go away, I will send Him to you. We can get to heaven by accepting Christ. But we'll never do heaven's work on earth until we surrender to the Spirit of God. Amen. We at times just kind of feel that God has put us here just to wait until the time that we go to heaven. And we need to understand that Jesus empowered His followers through the Holy Spirit to do the work of the ministry. Now, if 120 people can turn the whole world upside down, the Bible says, that people said, these are those who turn the world upside down. We have enough people here right now to turn South Dakota upside down. But the problem is, we're either waiting for someone else to do it, or we feel inadequate to do it, or we're scared to try. And God is calling this church, along with every Bible-believing church in this community and every church that doesn't believe the Bible, He wants to change them. To do the work of the ministry. Now, I understand there's a philosophy in the American church that we hire pastors to do the work. We hire preachers to do it. We pay them well to do the work of the ministry. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says He gave apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors for the equipping of the saints so that the saints will do the work of the ministry. And for the past several years, and especially the past several months, it's been a calling on my heart to get you ready. to get you out of a place where you're either comfortable or get you out of a place where you're afraid and step you into a place where God is mightily using you. I'll guarantee you, if you talk to Stephen or Scott, that they have kids sitting on the bench who'd like to be in the games. If they don't, they shouldn't be on the team. But they're watching the game every Friday night, and they're saying, well, coach, I was at practice. I was here. You know, I don't want to ever sit on the bench. I want to be in the game. Don't get comfortable sitting on the bench. Don't get comfortable watching from the sidelines. Don't get comfortable coming to a place where you're either afraid or you feel you're unknowledgeable or you're afraid that I can't do this, because you can do it because of the Holy Spirit. God's not interested, and we've told you over and over and over again, of our ability. He's interested in our availability. Amen. He wants you to come to a place, and I believe daily, point number one, daily, when you get up in the morning, when your feet hit that floor, start saying, Holy Spirit, possess me today. Take control. Let me influence people's lives for Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 24 and verse number 49. In Luke 24, 49. Now I hear people saying, and I haven't jumped all over people yet, but I will one day when I get a little courage. I hear people saying, well, if God wanted me to be full of the Holy Spirit, he'd just give it to me. Now, and people logically think that makes sense, because if God wants me to have it, how many realize God wants everybody to be saved? Amen. How many realize there are people going to hell? Amen. Unfortunately. And so in Luke, Jesus was getting ready to leave. Now, if someone's dying and they got some words to say before they depart this earth, we listen to them. Jesus wasn't going to die again, but he was leaving. And he looked at them in verse 49. He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or stay in the city of Jerusalem until ye are endued with power from on high. It was so important for them to be filled with the Spirit. I'm not talking about some denominational experience. I'm not talking about being Pentecostal or even charismatic. I'm not interested in what people call us. I'm interested in seeing people anointed and filled and saturated with the Spirit of God. Jesus prepared his disciples for this in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7 and verse 37. As he was talking on the great day of the feast. And the Bible says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, or if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Christ was not yet glorified. Let me just ask you a simple question. Are you a spring or a pump? To get anything out of you, do we have to do like we used to do on the old place, when I take water out and prime the pump and then pump like crazy and pray to God that the prime didn't go down, because if the prime went down, the water got dirty? So to get something out of you, does God have to grab you by the handle and just kind of pump you? Remember? Or are you flowing like a spring? Is it just there? Is the water just coming? And God is saying, when you're full of the Spirit and you're living in the Spirit and the Spirit is possessing your life, you're going to flow. You're going to flow. It's going to be clear, pure water. It's going to be the water, the river of life of the Holy Spirit that is absolutely, radically going to take control of your life. You're not going to back down. You're not going to be obnoxious about it, but you're not going to be backing down because the Holy Spirit has prepared you for the people that's going to come across your path. He's preparing you for the job that you have to do. And God has ordained that you and I are possessed by the Spirit. There's another spirit out there possessing people. It's destroying people's life. God has the antidote for what Satan wants to do. It's the blood of Jesus. Amen. And we walk in it and we flow in it and we're powerful. You're not a weakling. You're not a wimp. You're ready and able and prepared to do the work of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, some of these you just want to remember. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, and Jesus again speaking the last word, some of the last words before he left. And he said these words, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me," or my witnesses, "in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Keep in mind, even when you're talking to somebody, you're not a witness unto that person. Jesus said you're going to be my witnesses. When we're sharing Christ, we're doing it for him. We're doing it for him. And people are going to get saved because we are possessed by the Spirit. And doing the work of Jesus, you are witnesses of me, Jesus says. You're my witnesses. Now listen. It is important how people respond to your message. And that's vital. But the most important part is I'm faithful to do it for Jesus. Amen. I'm faithful to do it for Jesus. I'm going to let people know. I'm going to make people aware of the fact that there's something burning within me. It's being possessed by the Spirit of God. And I'm not going to back down. And when I am afraid, I'm going to pray for boldness. We had that word come in here today. That word boldness in Acts chapter 4. Beautiful word. Confidence. Confidence in the Lord. Acts chapter 4. And verse number 29, the disciples had just come from the Sanhedrin. They were threatened. They were threatened because a young man was healed, the lame man at the gate Beautiful. Listen, you can get in trouble for doing good things. Hello? You can get in trouble, so don't hide your head and say, "I'm never going to do that no more. It could hurt me." Sometimes it will. But they took Peter, took the man hand, and you remember the story. And he said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And the man went walking and leaping and praising God, and the Sanhedrin got mad. The old fuddy-duddies. But the Bible says in verse 29, "Now look, Lord, at their threats." Chapter 4. "And grant to your servants that they with all boldness may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of the Holy, your holy servant Jesus." And when they prayed, I like that. When they prayed, the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. If we're living on the shy side of life, if we're living almost in that place where we're ashamed of the gospel, where we're backing away from it. And Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." If we're living on that edge where we're not stepping in and going through and touching people's lives, be possessed by the Spirit. The place was shaken. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Look at me. You may say, but boy, I did that one time and I got all beat up. Grow up. It's going to happen. Realize this isn't how you feel. This isn't what people are thinking about you. This is about their eternal destiny. This is about pleasing God. Well, we all like to be liked, don't we? Sometimes that's the most dangerous place you can be. Stand for Jesus. He's your final judge. Amen. He's your final judge. Number two, invite the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read this to you because I might have written it down right. Invite the Holy Spirit to control your life. Surrender your life to Him and allow Him to lead you into God's purpose. Everyone is led by someone or something. Who or what's going to lead your life? Everyone is led by someone or something. You're driven by something. You're led by something. Who are you going to allow to do that for you? Who are you going to give control of your life to or what? You may look at me and say, oh, Pastor, I'm very serious. And the more I think about it, the more serious I get. We've lived in this town for 28 years, and I still haven't seen a fraction of what I felt God told me He's going to do in this community. And some of that is our fault. We can take credit for not seeing things happen. You say, whoa, what are you talking about? How many people you pray for this week? How many people you share Christ with? How many hungry people did you feed? How many sick did you minister to? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just asking a question. We kind of walk on life and we kind of go around the world thinking, well, maybe the world does revolve around us. No, it doesn't. It revolves around Jesus. And we come to a place that God has a purpose, and that word purpose, as we told you several weeks ago, means that He's designed your life. But you still make the decision, am I going to allow the Holy Spirit to control and lead my life so I fit into His purpose? Or do I come to God and I say, okay, God, here I am. But remember, I'm still in charge. I still call the shots. I love you and I want to go to heaven and I want to spend eternity with you, but don't get too personal yet. Kind of back off until I get done what I want to do and I get the things in my life in order that I want to have happen. And when I get enough money and when I get enough of this and when I get enough of that, and when I'm on my deathbed, then boy, I really need you, God. But we'll talk about that later. I don't have time right now. Purpose. God's purpose to design your life. God's purpose to display your lifestyle to this world. It's God's purpose to direct you in the paths and the avenues and the places that He has designed for you to be in so you can have the greatest impact on the society around you. God did not design you to be a hermit Christian. God designed you with the fragrance of heaven. Don't ever forget this. God designed you with the fragrance of heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that permeates the very room when you walk in, the very lives of people. It doesn't matter if you're on a football field, you're in a shopping center, you're doing housework, somebody knocks on that door. God has designed you with a heavenly fragrance to touch and radically change people's lives. And the Bible says to some we're a fragrance that's offensive, and to others we're a beautiful fragrance. We're a beautiful fragrance to Christians, but non-Christians at times They get under conviction and they get disturbed because there's something there. They can't put their finger on it. It's not in you at that moment. It's conviction on them. And they don't like it. Holy Spirit, control my life. Listen to me. That means if he tells you you're getting a little weak on your prayer, get up a half hour earlier. You're getting a little weak in the word, get up a half hour earlier. Turn off the TV. Turn off even the televangelist. Get your Bible out. Sit down and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts until the teachings of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit become so active in your life, you're ready to get out there and do something for the Lord. These evangelists are okay, but there's something that you can have that's beyond that and beyond even what pastor's preaching. Get in the Word of God and have it yourself. There's not one person here that will let me come to your house and preach you your dinner. Makes you hungry, doesn't it, Marilyn? You say, what are you talking about? You're going to chew your own food. Do it with the Word of God. There's chewable manna in here from God. You can open this book up besides what pastor's preaching or John Hagee and God bless him or whoever else is out there preaching. Take what they're preaching, but get in the Word yourself and learn it and memorize it and speak it in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can do it. I expect you to do it. And more than that, God expects you to do it. Give the Lord a hand. It's true. Don't ever come in here and think pastor wants to do it all. I'd love to have you coming in some Sunday morning and you got three or four people with you that you've led to the Lord and you're ready to get them baptized and you're ready to get them baptized in the Holy Spirit or one person or anybody. And what a wonderful experience that is. I know tonight when we're in Detroit Lakes, there'll be people accept Christ. And I love it. I love it. The Holy Spirit wants to control yours. Turn with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. I got an extra half hour today because I preached short last Sunday. So. Amen, Kirk. I can't hear you saying that back there.
Can't get it out.
Paul is describing his encounter with Jesus. And boy, some of these words are amazing in here. In verse 16, it says, "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose." Say purpose with me. "To make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." God had Saul's life all designed. God has your life designed. Step into it. If God is bringing something to your mind day after day after day, just stop and say, "Lord, I surrender. I'm not going to run my own life." You can look at him and say, "God, this is what I want to do. But God, this is what I feel you're telling me. And I'm going to do what I feel you're telling me. And if not, put up a door. Stop it. I don't want to get out of your will. But God, I want to do what you want for me." Maybe some of the problems that we go through are because we don't listen. Maybe some of the problems we go through is because we're planning our own design. We're making our own purpose. And we know that God is not in it, but we've been going so far and so far and so far that how do I get out of here now? Stop. Turn around. Be converted. That means to turn. Have a change of mind. I've appeared to you for this purpose, number one, to make you. There comes a time when we get out of the give me stage and we come into the make me stage. Ephesians 1:11. The Bible says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Look at me for a moment. Don't forget this. Whenever you hear the word predestined, you think of who? Who's predestined? When you hear the word predestined from now on, think, what are we predestined to? Don't start going through the thing, well, this one's going to be accepted and this one isn't. Start looking at it and saying, what am I predestined to? You're predestined to his purpose. Not about salvation here. It's not that he's coming and picking Tony and not Dwight. It's talking about a fact that he predestined you to purpose. Understand that. We get in arguments with the people who believe in election and this kind of stuff and say, well, we don't believe in that predestined. It's not who here. It's to what. One more, 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1:9. The Bible says, who has called us, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Do you realize that God had a plan for you before you were born? Because God was way ahead of us. He's been all the way up there. He had a plan for you before you were born. Now look at me for a moment. I don't know much about the man that preached a message when Billy Graham got saved. But because of his faithfulness to preach that message and to share Christ, he'll get equal with reward with Billy Graham. You say, oh, yeah, can't be. Yeah. God doesn't grade on the curve. God grades on your faithfulness. You don't know who you're going to be walking by. Francis don't know who he'll be sharing with someday, sharing about the Gideons and that young person accepts Christ as God tarries. And that young person leads thousands or even millions of people to Christ. I don't know of any other preacher besides Billy Graham that preached to a congregation of over 1 million people in Seoul, Korea. God may lead one person down your path, and you're faithful in that one person's life. There's a man up in International Falls, Minnesota. His name is Morris Schoberg. Morris Schoberg was absolutely radically instrumental in me becoming a Christian. He's 90-some years old now. He had an old Crosley. Anybody know what a Crosley was? A little compact car, and he'd bring it out on Saturdays up out way out by Rainier, Minnesota, and we go for drives. And he taught me how to swim. He taught me how to play football, almost play football. He taught me anything I knew about sports. Taught me how to fish, almost fish. But anything I do for the Lord, more someday will stand before God and God will say, well done.
just like the person that led you to the Lord. Thirdly, and I'm done, invite the Holy Spirit daily to lead you to influence and change somebody's life for Jesus. You have, listen folks, we're all living below what God has planned for us. We're all living below the expectations God has for your life. You can no longer use an excuse, well, I was a sinner. I ask people when they tell me, well, I can't do that because I was a sinner. I ask them, how many Christians have you killed? I asked somebody the other day, well, how many Christians? Well, I haven't killed anybody. Well, I said, Saul did. He became Paul. There's nothing in your past that will influence your present if you don't let it. There's nothing you've done wrong if it's covered by the blood of Christ. And the only way it's going to influence your life and change you from keeping the being from what God has planned for you, if you let it. Have we all sinned? Yeah. It seemed like I read someplace. All have sinned except Joyce. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How many have sinned after you've been a Christian? I don't know anybody that hasn't. It's not that we choose to, it's just maybe sometime we do. It's just that we do. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does what? Cleanses from all. How much sin?
All.
Have you sinned since you've been in here? You're sin free. Come on, you're sin free. So now is the time to absolutely, radically dedicate yourself to the Holy Spirit. Say, take control of my life. Use me mightily. I'm going out there and I'm going to influence people for Jesus. I used to influence people to sin. Amen. I used to influence. Anybody else influence people to sin? I did. Now I'm going to influence them to be a Christian, to be a saint, to be a child of God. Let me just tell you a couple stories real quick from the Bible. Number one was a man by the name of Philip. How many have ever heard of Philip? In Acts chapter 8, you can just write that down and read the whole chapter. It's good. Acts chapter 8, Philip goes down to Samaria and he preaches Christ. Demons come crying out and unclean spirits are leaving and people with palsy are being healed and the lame are walking. And all of a sudden God says, I want you out of here. Out of here. There's a revival going. Lord, don't take me out of a revival. He takes him down and he finds a eunuch from Ethiopia. The man's reading Isaiah 53. And the Holy Spirit says, get up there. I want you to go influence this man. And you know the story. Philip goes up and says, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, how can I? Nobody interpreting. Philip preached to him, and they come to a water pond, and the man says, what hinders me to be baptized? And Philip says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can be. And he baptized. Think of this man going back to the kingdom. I don't know how many lives were touched, but I'm sure it was more than just a few. Influence one person. Influenced one person. Peter's up on the housetop praying. Acts chapter 10. All of a sudden, he sees this sheet come down with all these unclean animals in that Jews were not able to eat. And the Lord looked at him, and the Spirit said to him, kill and eat. And Peter says, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean had ever come into my mouth. And the Lord said, that which I call clean, don't you call unclean. That time there's some men from the house of Cornelius knocking on the door, telling Peter, come with them. Peter goes to the house of Cornelius. The whole house is saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And the gospel went to the Gentiles. Who's waiting in your sphere of influence to hear the good news? Who's waiting out there for you to come and lay your hands on and heal them in the name of Jesus? Keep in mind that lame man that the disciples got in trouble for, Jesus had to walk by because he was laid there every day. Jesus left that man for Peter and John. Who's Jesus left for you? This is a day of the Holy Spirit. We want to be people friendly, but we want to be spirit friendly more. We want the power and the anointing and the touch of God radically in your life and my life, because I can't do it alone and you can't do it alone, but together we can turn these communities upside down. Amen. Amen. We get a few people from other churches involved, not trying to get their people out of their churches, but get churches on fire for God. Amen. John Wesley was asked, how in the world could he reach so many people for Jesus? And John Wesley said this, all I have to do is get on fire with the Holy Spirit and people come and watch me burn. They'll watch you. They'll listen to you. They'll pay attention to you. John G. Lake, and I'm done, tells the story of a man who was dying of tuberculosis. He sold his business in London and went out to a farm. And one day he got a letter from his niece saying that John G. Lake was in town preaching and people were getting healed and saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. This man took that letter and went out and got underneath a tree. And he said, God, if it can happen in London or whatever town it was, if it can happen with my niece, if it can happen with my family, it can happen with me, and I'm staying here until it happens. The Holy Spirit absolutely radically changed his life and healed him and his wife, who was an atheist. That day when he walked into the house, fell on her knees and said, honey, get me saved. I need Christ. His wife, his whole family were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and God sent him to Parliament in London. And the man telling the story said, when this man walked in my office, he said, I hid under my desk. The presence of God was so strong in his life. He said he went from my office, the Prime Minister's office, through the whole building, and everyone had the same reaction, and everyone got saved. I'll let you read the story if you ever want to read a big book on John G. Lake. It's powerful. But friend, I don't believe for a moment that God's a respecter of person. I believe when we get hungry enough and say, God, possess me. God, control me. God, I want to influence people's lives. You'll see it happen.